President-elect Donald Trump has said he plans to cut taxes for individuals and corporations in order to stimulate the economy and create jobs. Republican leaders before him, notably Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush, also cut taxes with the same reasoning. But did those tax cuts work? Joining us now is Donald Marin, who's the director of economic policy initiatives at the Urban Institute and former director of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. Donald Marin, welcome to Here and Now.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And let's listen to Donald Trump speaking in September at the Economic Club of New York, where he laid out his economic plan.
We're proposing a $4.4 trillion tax cut that will score as a $2.6 trillion under dynamic growth models, which is how taxes should be scored.
Now, taking out the econo speak in there, it sounds like a lot of tax cutting. What are you expecting Trump is going to do?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd note is that based on the estimates that my colleagues have done here at the Tax Policy Center, we think the tax cut he has in mind is significantly bigger, somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 to $7 trillion over the next 10 years. To put that in some sort of context, that would be like reducing tax revenues by about 1/7. So one out of every $7 of tax revenue going away.
And largely for the higher incomes or for everybody?
And it's mostly tilted towards higher incomes, absolutely.
What about for the middle class? Would they see tax cuts as well?
Pretty much everybody would see tax cuts. There are some folks at the lower end of the distribution because of income distribution, because of technical tax features that in his plan might actually see a tax increase. But, you know, it's impossible to believe that would survive the legislative process.
Would the idea of a $6 or $7 trillion tax cut over the course of 10 years be something that you think could make it through a Republican Congress?
You know, that's a lot of money. And we've seen several of the leaders in Congress say that they aspire to a revenue-neutral tax reform. This is one of the big debates you're going to see is between the folks who are focused on tax reform and the people who are focused on big tax cuts. Congress now accounts for what Mr. Trump mentioned, which is this dynamic scoring. So taking account of the fact that tax cuts or tax changes might affect the size of the economy and that might flow back and give you more or less revenue. So that'll make it slightly easier for them to enact tax reforms. But still, if they keep to their word and want to be anywhere close to revenue neutral, they're going to have to do something quite different from what Mr. Trump has proposed.
Well, let's talk about that idea that cutting taxes grows the economy and therefore, you know, some believe that they pay for themselves and give a lot of people more opportunity in this economy. Going back to Ronald Reagan, and let's listen to him. Here he is explaining his tax plan, which simplified the tax rates into three brackets of 15, 25, and 35%.
By lowering everyone's tax rates all the way up the income scale, each of us will have a greater incentive to climb higher, to excel, to help America grow.
Donald Marin, tell us what happened after Reagan's tax cuts. What happened to the economy?
Well, so the thing about the Reagan years is that there were actually three major tax bills. So he passed very large tax cuts early on in his administration, rolled back a significant fraction of them a year later, and then towards the end of his administration signed the major 1986 tax reform. So he has a complex tax legacy. I think in the quote that you ran, he's right to say that if you lower people's tax rates, that by itself can encourage them to work, save, and invest more and can contribute to the economy. What he left out, though, is that if you do that without finding a way to pay for it, so that at the same time you're also increasing deficits, those deficits over time have a tendency to crowd out private investment and therefore to weaken the overall economy. And so if all you're doing is tax cutting, it's actually very hard to make that a long-run economic boost. Even though, obviously, in the short run, putting more money in people's pockets can provide a short-run boost.
So just to be clear, his tax cuts, you're saying, did not pay for themselves. They added to the deficit.
Oh, yeah. There's no way they paid for themselves. And indeed, like I said, you know, one of the first things you saw is that they undid a chunk of them just a year later.
We also know that George W. Bush cut taxes. Here he is outlining his economic plan before a joint session of Congress in February 2001.
Tax relief is right. And tax relief is urgent. The long economic expansion that began almost 10 years ago is faltering. Lower interest rates will eventually help, but we cannot assume they will do the job all by themselves. 40 years ago, and then 20 years ago, two presidents, one Democrat, one Republican, John F. Kennedy and Ronald Reagan, advocated tax cuts to, in President Kennedy's words, get this country moving again. They knew then what we must do now. To create economic growth and opportunity, we must put money back into the hands of the people who buy goods and create jobs.
Now, Donald Maron, we know that at the end of Bush's presidency, there was a huge financial crisis and deep recession. But let's talk about the effects of his tax cuts. Did they do what he wanted them to do?
And so, again, a complicated legacy. President Bush signed significant tax bills. Obviously, the 2001 one did more in 2003, and then also passed some tax cuts in 2008 as part of the effort to combat the economics collapse. In 2001, you'll notice that his quote mostly focused on the effect of putting more money in people's pockets at a time of economic weakness. That's sort of the classic Keynesian demand-side argument that if the economy is turning down, you should cut taxes and possibly spend more government money as a way to help support the economy. I think the evidence that it provided some limited boost at the time, and would expect that to happen even today if we did some sort of tax cuts. Beyond that, very complicated period in economic history with all the other things happening and hard to tell exactly what the effects are. Obviously not a giant effect on economic growth.
And we should point out that you did work in the later years in the Bush White House, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I was a member of the Council of Economic Advisors.
And did you argue in favor or against the tax cuts that were going on?
So I wasn't there in 2001 and 2003. Did play a role in helping think about and design the 2008 tax cut.
So given what you're saying, why do Republicans continually want to cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes, and say that that's what's going to make the economy grow? It sounds like it's not that simple at all and maybe just totally wrong.
So it's not that simple. So not all tax cuts are created equal, I think, is the most important thing to take away. And if you want to promote economic growth, what you want to do is have tax reform changes that encourage people to work more, to save more, to invest more. But at the same time, you find a way to pay for it so that you're not driving up deficits and crowding out investment. The other thing I'd say is we've gone through this long history where if you go back to the John F. Kennedy period and to the early Reagan years, we used to be in a situation where tax rates were at the top end were 50, 60, 70% if you go back to the Kennedy years. And there's a much stronger case to be made there that you can get a significant effect by lowering rates. Whereas today we're in a world where the top rates have been 35 to 40%, and you might be able to get some benefit from reducing those, but it's likely to be much smaller.
What are the economic effects of raising taxes as Bill Clinton did?
So it's pretty much everything in reverse, you run the risk that you may discourage some economic activity, but if you're doing it in a way that reduces deficits, reduces the crowding out of private investment, it's something that can be beneficial for the economy in the long run. Again, depends exactly how you do it. There are better tax increases and worse tax increases.
So what would your advice be to policymakers in Washington right now as we look forward to the Trump administration?
The top level advice is that not all tax changes are created equal, not all tax cuts are created equal, and you should think carefully about what it is you're trying to accomplish. There's clearly an opportunity to improve the way we tax businesses. America is an outlier relative to the rest of the world. Tax rates have come down elsewhere. We're not the most attractive place to invest. You want to think about a way of designing the tax system so investment inside the United States, which creates better-paying U.S. jobs, is not discouraged by our tax system. And then you also ought to think about the concerns about deficit, and that if you want to do significant tax changes, you should think about ways to pay for it, perhaps by rolling back other tax provisions that really aren't that beneficial.
That's Donald Maron, who is Director of Economic Policy Initiatives at the Urban Institute. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Thanks.
So what do you think? Do tax cuts work? And are you hoping for more under President-elect Trump? Let us know at hereandnow.org.